From Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse, this is Newsmakers. I'm Maureen McCollum. Wisconsin Governor Scott Walker charged a group of educators, lawmakers, and nonprofit officials to improve reading proficiency for school children. Walker, as well as State Superintendent of Public Instruction, Dr. Tony Evers, met with the task force across the state over the last year. The Read to Lead task force made recommendations last week on how to progress Wisconsin's reading ability. Governor Walker visited Stoddard Elementary School last week, just days after the Read to Lead task force released its recommendations. He was there to tout the program and also to talk with kids about the importance of reading.
You guys are all third graders, right? Yeah. So that's a really important grade when you think about reading. Because from the time you were a little baby all the way until now that you're getting grown up in third grade, you know what? Your parents, your grandparents, people in the community, and now particularly your teachers over the last couple of years, are all helping you learn the skills so you can be a good reader. And then, you know, after this year, in fourth grade and fifth grade and on, you use all those skills you got from reading, help you learn everything else you're going to need to get in your brain, not just to graduate from high school, but maybe go on to college or university or technical school, and eventually go out and get a job and have a family and a career. All those wonderful things are going to come, and so much of it is based on what you're able to do from reading. So the better you're at reading, the better it is going to be to learn everything else you're going to do in your life. How many of you guys like to read? Yeah? It's a lot of fun. Now, the neat thing is, with books like this, I like reading not just for my job, and I've got to read a lot for my job. Sometimes I read just to have fun. You guys like to read to have fun?
Yeah.
Not just for stuff for school, but just in general? Well, that's something, hopefully, you'll have all the rest of your life. It's something that you can do no matter what, where you're at. It's no matter where you live. You can always find a way to read and have some fun and enjoyment.
So in the school library, books of all colors and sizes cover the walls. A group of third graders sit on the ground, anxiously awaiting for the governor to read them a story. Walker asks the children if they like to read. All of them say yes. He then asks them about their favorite Dr. Seuss books. After patiently listening to each answer, Walker sits in a rocking chair and reads the Stoddard third graders Dr. Seuss's Oh, the Places You'll Go.
Congratulations. Today is your day. You're off to great places. You're off and away. You have brains in your head. You have feet in your shoes. You can steer yourself any direction you choose. You're on your own, and you know what you know. And you are the guy who will decide where you go. Where do you think he's going to go? California.
No,
China.
Las Vegas.
Well, California would be kind of nice and warm right now, right? You'll look up and down streets, look them over with care. About some you'll say, I don't choose to go there. With your head full of brains and your shoes full of feet, you're too smart to go down any not-so-good streets. That's a not-so-good street? Looks kind of scary, doesn't it? Yeah.
No.
And you may not find any you'll want to go down. In that case, of course, you'll head straight out of town. He's heading right out. It's opener there in the wide open air. Look at that. It's wide open. Out there, things can happen, and frequently do, to people as brainy and footsie as you. And when things start to happen, don't worry, don't stew. You'll go right along. You'll start happening, too. Ever see elephants carrying a tent like that?
You can hear Governor Scott Walker reading Oh, the Places You'll Go on our website, wpr.org/lacrosse. After Governor Walker finished the famous Dr. Seuss book and the children returned to class, he talked with members of the La Crosse media about the Read to Lead Task Force.
We started a Read to Lead Task Force last March. Spent about 9 months really with a very diverse group of people from around the state. Had a number of teachers, former educators, principals, folks with a diverse group of backgrounds, some reading coaches, and then a variety of different folks, from advocates, from parent groups, reading groups, as well as someone who came from the philanthropic community, all joined with myself, three other lawmakers, bipartisan group, and in particular with Dr. Tony Evers, the State Superintendent of Public Instruction, who joined with us to help lead the Read and Lead Task Force. Spent a lot of time holding listening sessions around the state, heard from a variety of folks, also heard from folks in other states, came in and gave presentations to us about things that they've done related to reading in their particular states. And so the report that you see out this week is really all that discussion, all the feedback we got from others at all those different sessions each month for about a nine-month period. And the reason, the premise for it is real simple. So I was just telling, mentioning in brief to some of the third graders here, you know, and simply put, early on in life, we learn to read. And then from about third and fourth grade on, we use reading to learn. And what we've found is those skills that young people get, particularly in their elementary, leading up into elementary school years right around third and fourth grade, if they're reading at or above grade level, it makes it statistically much more likely that they're going to graduate from high school. In fact, one of the reports we looked at earlier this year came out in April of 2011 and showed that kids, on the negative side, if kids aren't reading at proficient or advanced levels of reading by the time they leave third grade, they're four times more likely not to graduate. And if you incorporate poverty as a factor along with that, they're 13 times more likely not to graduate. And in this state, one of the good things is we've had a long tradition of having high graduation rates in the state. But we also historically had good reading levels, and for a variety of reasons over the years that has slipped a bit. And so Dr. Evers and I and the others in the task force thought it was a priority for us to put a focus on reading. That's what the Read and Lead task force is about. We're really addressing it in a multitude of areas. Part of it's early childhood development. Even before our children get into the classroom in our schools here in the state, we know there's a lot that can be done to help build that foundation. So one of the things our proposal specifically talks about is with YoungStar, which is the program we're just starting up this year, where we, for any preschool and child care provider who gets assistance through the state, they now have a grading system that reimburses them for better level of care. We're going to incorporate reading skills as a part of that. And in fact, we started as a pilot last year, and then this year and next year, we're going to be doing a series of training sessions for YoungStar child care providers around the state to make sure that they've got the skill base to help us prepare our young children for school and the reading skills that they need with that. In addition, we're going to help the technical assistance that's provided for YoungStar make sure that they're equipped with that. Another thing we're looking to do, because there was great interest from civic leaders who filed what we were doing and from some of the foundations around the state and require legislative change, but having a change in state law that allows us to create a public-private partnership, because many of our employers in the state and civic groups and foundations are very interested in helping us, particularly when it comes to reading. It's something, just so it was clear, when we announced this the other day, there was some concern that that might vary by district, but our approach would be targeted statewide so that whatever benefit we got along with the public funding would be spread throughout the state to every school district. It wouldn't just be targeted at one district or another. It would be provided on a statewide basis to help promote reading and reading skills in our schools and our communities. In addition to that, one of the things we're going to work with both Democrat and Republican legislators who are on the panel is to put a change in state law that would help us put in place a screening system that we can use for kids coming into kindergarten. The idea being that, in fact, particularly for some of the teachers and former principals on our panel, they said it's not necessarily helpful to have more tests throughout the school career, but having information that teachers can use that is student-specific and they can use to address their teaching skills in the front end is very helpful. And so particularly if we're putting more of an emphasis on early childhood development, we want not only for the teachers in the schools to know where those kids are at when they come into kindergarten, but also for those programs that participate in YoungStar, we want to be able to measure whether or not the experience they're providing is effective and where we need to target improvements there to make sure that kids are coming in with a good foundation for reading, even when they come into our elementary schools here in the state of Wisconsin. And then, in particular, the area that the Department of Public Instruction is going to hone in on, Dr. Evers has taken the lead on a series of changes. One of the things we got consistent input on was the need for improvements, particularly in training and education for our teachers in terms of putting a greater focus on literacy. And so we looked at some models. For example, Massachusetts has a very effective program. DPI is going to look to incorporate that as part of the ongoing teacher licensing process and using that. They're also looking for additional ways of supporting existing teachers as well as new ones. So there'll be a new portal that'll have updated information on new techniques and strategies as well as proven techniques in reading. There'll be an annual summit to teach not only educators but principals and others that DPI will be sponsoring, and in a series of other things that will help advance professional development and put a focus on reading as a high priority as a part of that. Overall, these are things that we think are important, certainly as a parent and as an uncle of kids in elementary school now, a parent of higher high school age kids as well, but knowing the importance of seeing my own kids and my nieces, the importance of reading, but also having talked to people around the state, not only for educators and parents, but even for employers, they know that we need more kids making their way through school and being prepared to go on either to college or to a career. And to the extent that we can increase the number of kids graduating, we can increase the skill levels they have. Certainly a good chunk of that goes all the way back to the foundation they get early on in life when it comes to reading. And we want to make that a priority. And that's why we have the Read to Lead Task Force, because we think we can help lead the nation. Combine this with the work that Dr. Evers and I and others are doing on the school district and school accountability design team as a replacement to No Child Left Behind. And I think we can be at the forefront leading the nation when it comes to education reform. So that's a little bit about what we're highlighting, what we put out this week, obviously why we're here, not only reading, but stressing the importance of reading. And I'll take some questions on that and then on other topics if you got them.
Governor, you mentioned the budgeting for this would be statewide. Mm-hmm. I'm assuming though statewide it'll be distributed based on, you know, how big the school districts are, right, not just straight even.
Well, it'll be a variety of factors. One of the things we talked about here earlier with the superintendent school board is the need long term. Far predates this budget, but taking a closer look at the school aid formula, just because a district like this gets hit by having some high property values, just as the district did where I grew up in Delamont, a small town. And so there's some ongoing issues that this Read to Lead Task Force doesn't address that specifically, but there's a real need with that. But the idea, for example, in the screening would be to give assistance across the board statewide. We put money in the current budget we're in for the Read to Lead Task Force. It's something the lawmakers and the panel are interested in helping us use that funding for the screening process that would have helped school districts all over the state. And then tie that in with future changes made on the school and school district accountability system. What we want to do is replicate success and so find a way to take programs that work well, particularly in our elementary schools, and then find a ways for schools that maybe aren't living up to that level of success and replicate that elsewhere in the state. So it's something where it won't be just on the current formula. It'll be something where we're really trying to drive success and help those areas that aren't living up to that success right now.
What's the price tag for this?
Well, there's a series of things that will happen over time in the upcoming budget process. But just on Read to Lead, there's $600,000 per year assigned just for that. That would help us get off the ground the screening system. And then there are other things that we would do in the future as part of the next biennial budget.
And you said this would be an alternative to No Child Left Behind?
Or? No. Let me. Okay. A great question, but just to clear. No, the separate from the Read to Lead initiative, one of the other things that are kind of running parallel to this is Dr. Evers and I and about 40 very diverse people from school district administrators, teachers, business groups, and others have been working for many months now on the school and school district accountability system. That would be an alternative to No Child Left Behind. But this kind of fits into that in the sense that the changes we would look to make there would be things that would help us identify and really measure our success when it comes to reading as well as other things, but particularly reading would be a key part of that.
So will that help gauge the success of the Read to Lead program?
Mm-hmm. I think so, yeah, without a doubt. One of the things that we're looking at in that other system is having a measurement for every school district and every school in the state that has a variety, a multitude of factors. It's not just one factor. It's not just one high-stakes test. It would be both about not only where students are at in that given school or district in terms of different whether it's mathematics or whether it's reading or other skill sets, but also where the progress is. One of the complaints of No Child Left Behind is it measures just one item. It doesn't measure progress. It doesn't measure other factors involved. And so we spent really an extensive amount of time working with educators and interested parties and stakeholders across the state to find a better alternative. But this, the connection to this Read to Lead would be, is that that gives us, I think, a much more objective measure, an ongoing measure that isn't just a snapshot in time. And really what we heard from educators is instead of just high-stakes tests, they want more frequent feedback. particularly about where students are at, so they can apply that to their curriculum and what they do.
When you mentioned a public-private partnership, are you? Can you elaborate on that?
Yeah.
Are you suggesting
we have, for example, one of our task force members, Mary Reed, is an officer in the Greater Milwaukee Foundation, but she's involved with an association of foundations and philanthropic groups from around the state. And her idea and the idea from others is they would like to help fund specific initiatives that would help statewide, whether it's promoting certain reading programs. We're going to be talking not just today, but in the coming month. We're going to be highlighting separate announcements like this, some things we hope to do specific to engaging more parental involvement and engaging more support from the public as a whole. And things like that are certainly things that I think some of our philanthropic partners are interested in helping with as well. But it would be an issue where they would help assist. They wouldn't be the sole funding source, but they would help assist in that, and we think there's interest in doing it.
Do you think it's primarily a funding source?
Mm-hmm. Well, funding, but also, I mean, a number of the foundations, Mary's in particular, but a number of other foundations across the state and businesses as well, really have a vested interest in making sure our schools are doing well. As employers in the state, big or small, I mean, in the end, having kids come out with a sound education, no matter what part of the state they're at, no matter what school they're at, is something that has been a strength for us in the past, that we've had a strong workforce in this state, and it's certainly an advantage we have over other parts of the country and other parts of the world. We don't want to concede that. So this is not only about education, it's ultimately about economics and the fact that if we continue to find ways to reinforce the basic building blocks of a good education, which really starts with reading, that means we're going to have kids performing at a high level, we're going to have more kids graduating, and ultimately means we're going to have more kids ready for a career. We're moving on to college. In either case, they're going to help us because those are the workers of the future our employers are going to tap into.
Governor Scott Walker visited Stoddard Elementary School last week to promote the Read to Lead Task Force and talked with media from the La Crosse area. The Read to Lead Task Force released recommendations last week on how to improve reading in Wisconsin. You're listening to Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Maureen McCullum. James Kukta is the superintendent of DeSoto Area Schools, which includes Stoddard Elementary School. I talked with him after Governor Walker visited the school last week.
Yeah, I was excited when I got the call about the governor's visit, and initially Tony Evers was going to visit with him, but then had a conflict in schedule. But he's promoting reading and came to our school, and it was a great opportunity for our students.
And you mentioned that one of the reasons that Stoddard was chosen was because you're a high-achieving school. I know that there's a lot of steps that it takes to get there and to be so successful, but what do you think Stoddard's success has been over the years?
Well, our school's a high-achieving elementary school, one of two elementary schools, and they're both excellent schools in the DeSoto area, and we've got a tremendous staff. They've got different reading programs and writing programs that I'm finding out more about as the new superintendent in the district, and I think our dedication and commitment from our staff and how they work and promote it along with our parents and the community is testament to the quality education our students receive.
One of the goals of the Read to Lead Task Force is to have every child reading by fourth grade. Is that an issue in the Stoddard School District?
Well, I would say it's an issue statewide and something that is a great goal to have all students reading at or above grade level. I know that we have some students that are actually reading and writing at very high levels currently with some of the programs that we have implemented.
So what is your overall thoughts on the Read to Lead program? Do you think it's going to move the state forward as far as education goes?
Well, there are a lot of different players involved, there's a task force that was put together almost a year ago that worked on this with different educational representatives, administrators, principals, and teachers, and business leaders. And I think it's a positive process that has been taking place with good representation, and I do think that it'll help our schools and our students to read at an earlier age. And as the governor said, it's a way to help you teach students to read, and then they learn to read, and then they read to learn.
Is there anything else you want to talk about?
Well, I did have an opportunity, along with our school board president, to meet with the governor and to talk about concerns that we have as a district, budget concerns and some potential solutions, a change in the funding policy possibly, and I asked the governor specifically if the next biennial budget would maybe be more better for education, better for our schools, and because, as you know, this was a transformational year with the huge decrease in the funding, and he said that they'll be trying to do that. So we're very hopeful that the next biennial budget will be much more positive than the tremendous drawbacks that we had this past year.
Was it mostly budgetary drawbacks, or was there anything else? I mean, I don't know if you want to talk about any of the specifics you got into with him.
Well, we had to we did talk about specifics, how we had to reduce different teachers in our district. We're unable to replace a couple of special education teachers, a band teacher, and we consolidated programs and duties. We kept the band program by giving our choir teacher that duty for 1 year, and with the promise of replacing that person after a year, but again, you know, budget constraints are going to make that very difficult to happen. We've consolidated other positions even prior to this year. Tightening of the budget included eliminating different positions like administrative positions or special ed director and school psychologist and other positions. For instance, we didn't rehire a principal that retired in December. I'm taking on his duties as a new superintendent and also serving as principal of two elementary schools, along with two lead teachers that have additional duties. So that's just one way. It may not be the most educationally sound way to do things, but it's a cost savings measure. And, you know, we recognize the need for some changes with the difficult fiscal times, and but we just hope that the governor recognizes the impact that it can have, the negative impact on education, and we're promoting more consideration for that in the future.
James Kukta is the superintendent of DeSoto Area Schools. We talked after Governor Scott Walker visited Stoddard Elementary School last week, promoting the Read to Lead Task Force. Listening to Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse, I'm Maureen McCollum. Our production team includes Steve Roysom, John Gatto, Mary Meehan Strube, and our senior news editor and producer, John Davis. To hear archives of this or other recent editions of Newsmakers, visit our website at wpr.org/lacrosse. In addition to Newsmakers, you'll find archived reports and special series produced by the La Crosse News Bureau. And if you'd like to comment on this week's Newsmakers or have a suggestion for future shows, you'll also find links to our producers and staff. That and more at wpr.org/lacrosse. Newsmakers is also now on Facebook. Updates on future shows, links to our archives, and more. Follow us at WPR Newsmakers on Facebook.